Welcome to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we discuss real money from real estate. Andrew Cordell gives advice based on firsthand experience. Andrew has experienced the peaks of the real estate market, the lows of the market crash of 2007, and he has taught himself how to rebuild his successful real estate business from scratch after he lost it all. He now helps others learn how to find their own success through his experience, mistakes, and triumphs. And now, your host, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, experienced investor with over 140 houses flipped in only 18 months, Andrew Cordell.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. It's about real money made from real estate investing. We've got a great show ahead of us today, and I appreciate you tuning in and listening to the show here. We're going to be talking about out-of-state investing. If you're looking to possibly buy out-of-state, whether it be rental properties or flips, we're going to be talking about how you can invest out-of-state. I have an expert investor that's going to be tuning in with us here, talking about how he buys out-of-states and give us some of the things to watch out for, as well as different techniques of how you can make money while investing out-of-state. And it's going to be a great episode ahead of us. I hope you enjoy the political series that's going on. And I brought that up because the guest that's on the show with me today, me and him are pulling for the same candidate. And so we're talking back and forth on Facebook a lot, and it made me think about all the politics that are happening now a day in America. So let's get into this. Greg Slaughter is with me. He's from Arizona, a good friend of mine, but better than a friend. He's an awesome investor. Greg, are you on the air with us?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Greg, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I think we booked this out about 2 weeks in advance. And Greg is a busy investor that invests in Arizona as well as other states. And so I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule and spending it with not only with me, but as well as the listeners as well. And for those of you who don't know Greg yet, Greg is an investor that has bought, focused probably a lot on buy, fix, and sell when he was first getting started. And has done somewhere between 100 and maybe 200 buy, fix, and sell properties. And then, of course, got into some of the buy, fix, and teardowns, or I should say the buy, teardowns, and then fix and sell. And he's done about a dozen of those. And then he spent a good amount of his time, due to the fact that he lived in Arizona, creating cash flow out of state. And he's done a handful of different states there. And so he'd like to talk about some of the things that you can watch out for as a real estate investor. Now, Greg, before we get going too far into the success you've had, of course, I didn't even get a chance to mention you run a very successful real estate club right there in Arizona as well. But before we get too deep into sort of the logistics of real estate, I want to back up a little bit and let the listeners get to know you sort of maybe when you started out investing. And when you first got going into real estate investing and you had never done a deal before, because, you know, a lot of times the listeners, even though we're on the Wall Street Radio, the listeners may be coming over from stock investing, or maybe they're trying to find a place to put some money, and they're new to investing. And they hear these different investors that I bring on that are managing partners of different companies or CEOs of different companies. They've done hundreds of deals, but that's not where they're at. They're at a place where they've never done a deal before. So can you take us back a little bit? How old were you when you got started in real estate investing?
Well, ironically, my schedule is my background is a little unique because I knew I wanted to do real estate investing actually when I was a teenager.
Wow.
And I actually thought about real estate investing when I was 18 years old, and that was the very first real estate conference I ever went to when I was 18. I remember getting the first job I ever got was with the McDonald's Corporation. The first couple paychecks I got was for a stereo. But then I saved up my money, and the second thing I ever bought in my life was a real estate seminar, and I went to, back then it was Robert Allen, Nothing Down, and nobody knew what Nothing Down was back then. It was all popular. This was like in 1985, if I remember correctly. And so it was always in my blood that I wanted to do real estate.
Wow.
Now, unfortunately, it didn't work out for me at that time, but I knew I always wanted to do it.
That's unique, man. And, you know, I interview people every day between my podcast and show and, of course, training across the nation. And you're one of the very few people that I think I've ever sort of talked to. I know the first on the radio show that knew they wanted to do real estate investing even while they were a teenager. You know, most people get into a job, and as soon as they get in the job, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I do not want to do this forever. And that's what sort of, you know, they start asking questions and investigating and looking into what they can do. But for you, you knew from a teenager that you wanted to get involved in real estate investing. It's pretty unique and cool there. And you are right, man. Robert Allen. That's turning the clock back. And Robert Allen was one of the very first people that came out, I believe, with the no money down strategies and multiple streams of income. That was another one of his big components, was multiple streams of income. And he was a great teacher, though. And so the second thing you ever bought when you had your job working for McDonald's was a real estate conference that you attended to learn about real estate. Were you 18, 19, 20? How old were you when you went to that conference?
I was 18 years old at that time, and I spent every penny that I had in my name to go to that conference.
18 years old, took every dime you made from McDonald's and put it into this real estate conference you went to. I'm just curious, was it a 3-day, 4-day, 1-day? How long was the conference you went to?
It was several days. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was at least 3 days. I remember them making an issue. I'm a pretty small statue guy, and I kind of grew up late. So I remember going to the seminar, and yes, I was 18 years old, but I looked like I was 14 years old. And I remember them even asking if I had my parents there with me.
Oh, that's great, man. Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's funny. You made me think here. I was teaching a 3-day event, the 3-day training courses that we teach, and I don't get to teach a lot, but I taught one this past weekend, and there was a young guy in there and I knew he wasn't a teenager or I knew he was above 18, but he had to be 19 years old, didn't have a dime to his name, and what was in there taking studious notes on how to become a real estate investor. And I could just picture you walking in looking like a 14-year-old kid that had never shaved his face trying to come into this event to invest in real estate. Mind you had zero money as you were working for McDonald's and took all your money and bought this event. Last question about this conference. Do you, off the top of your head, just out of curiosity for me, do you remember how much you paid for that event?
Oh, wow. Now you're really testing my memory now. That was in 85, man.
85. So
I just remember. I remember at the time it was a lot of money. So obviously probably not a lot of money to me now, but
yeah,
it certainly was a lot of money back then.
Well, anytime you spend 100% of everything you own, that's a lot of money, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, so you go to this 3-day training with Robert Allen, or 4-day, whatever it may be. You go to this training with Robert Allen, and you learn about real estate investing. You're 18 years old. When do you end up coming across your first property that you do? How old are you then?
I attempted to buy my first property right after that seminar. After I learned all the techniques, I went into a real estate office, and back then they didn't, the MLS didn't exist on the internet. There was no internet, so you had to go in there and get that little phone book. It looked like a phone book, which was the MLS book, and you had to flip through the pages, and there was the pictures, and it came out once a month. So I remember walking into this real estate office, and then these two ladies, I called them older ladies at the time, but obviously because I looked like I was 14, they're probably in their 30s actually. And to make a long story short, these ladies laughed me out of the office and said, "Who is this little punk kid going to teach us how he's going to buy a property for zero down?" Because mind you, nobody knew what zero down there was. They literally threw me out of the office.
Oh, man, that is great. What a great story.
But I didn't give up. I did not give up. So I figured out, okay, well, then the problem must be that they see me, and there's no way anybody's ever going to do a deal with, someone that looks like they're 14 years old. So I said, okay, so what I got to do is I got to put a deal together over the phone.
Oh,
so I actually grabbed a newspaper, went through the for sale by owner section. I found an owner that owned a duplex. I negotiated the deal over the phone to buy this duplex, and the terms I negotiated, it wasn't nothing down, but I only needed, I think maybe it was like $300 or something. And if I could have come up with it, I would have owned this duplex. The rent on one side would have paid for the entire mortgage, and I would have even had another $50 to $75 extra, and I could have lived in the other side for free.
Yep. And I think Robert Allen, I think Robert Allen, I remember reading his book while I was in college. I think he sort of talks maybe about that concept a little bit in his book that I read. But so you couldn't get anybody you couldn't get them to help you with that deal either. You couldn't come up with a $300.
Yeah, I could not come up with a $300. I spent every dime I had for the conference. I was 18 years old. None of my friends had that kind of money. I mean,
no one's going to lend you money.
None of them had the money. And then I actually went and asked my parents for the money. And let's just say that they were really not that much different than the ladies at the real estate office.
All right. So we're coming up on our first break here. But tell the audience, when did you end up buying, actually complete or closing on your first deal? When was that? How old were you when you did that?
Well, after that, I basically quit real estate, although it was in the back of my mind. I went through corporate America. I was in corporate America for 19 years, and they had relocated me to Las Vegas. So the very first investment property I ever owned is when they relocated me from Las Vegas to Phoenix. We kept the property in Las Vegas as a rental property. So I moved to Phoenix, lived here in Phoenix, and then I kept the property. It was in Las Vegas, and we rented it out. So that was officially my first investment property.
Okay, so your first investment property was you're getting laughed out of the real estate offices as you go at 18, 19 years old. No one was going to give you any, lend you any money, and so you jump into the corporate world. You get transferred. You sort of work your way up a little bit, and they transfer you to Las Vegas. Or were you already in Las Vegas? I'm sorry.
No, they transferred me to Las Vegas. Okay. I was in Tucson. All of this originated in Tucson.
Yes.
I was born and raised there. And then through corporate America, they relocated me to Las Vegas. And then it was in 1999, so I guess it was 14 years later after the conference, is when corporate America relocated me from Las Vegas to Phoenix, and then I kept that property in Las Vegas as a rental property. So it was 14 years later after the conference.
Wow.
Is when I actually did my first investment property.
Talk about persistence, man. You were persistent about that deal. Very cool. So you end up the very first deal you end up doing is actually an out of state rental because it was your property. You moved back to Tucson from Las Vegas, and when you moved back, you end up keeping that property and turning it into a rental property. And there lies your very first out of state rental property that you're managing. Well, I want to come back after the break here, Greg. And now that the audience has got to know you, I want to talk about two things. Number one, the power of networking. The power of network is extremely important for real estate. I always say that real estate is relationship business. I want to talk about the power of networking as well as your club. And then I want to dive into this out-of-state investing, things to watch out for as well as things to look for when you invest out-of-state. Coming up right after the break on the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate investing. And we got a great host on the show this today, Greg from Arizona, Tucson, Arizona area. Greg, are you still on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Greg,
I live in Phoenix now. So
that's right. I apologize. We were talking about living, born and raised in Tucson, and now you live in the Phoenix area.
Yep.
So I want to talk about real quick, for those of you who are just joining the show, if you missed the first segment, Greg is a good friend of mine. He's an investor out in Arizona. He's done couple hundred flips, and as well as rental properties, as well as new construction. So he's got multiple experience doing it in multiple different states. And we're talking about right now, we rolled into the power of networking. And for those of you that are looking to get involved in real estate, I would tell you that building your relationships in real estate is one of the most important things that you can ever do inside this business. This business is not built on houses. It is not a business that is wrapped around black and white numbers. It is a business built around relationships. And the better relationships you have, the better success you will have in this business. Now, Greg, I want to fast forward. I know we left off in 1999. You had just transferred from Las Vegas back to Tucson. You kept your very first out-of-state rental property. And between 1999 and where we're at, you end up doing close to 200 deals. But before we go into that, I want to fast forward. About 2 or 3 years ago, you end up starting what they call a local real estate club, basically. Can you tell us a little bit about that club and some of the membership, sort of how it works and why you started this club in your local area there?
Yes, it's called the Phoenix REI Resource Network. And quite frankly, the reason I started it about 2 years ago was as a way of giving back. I've had tremendous success, and I've had a lot of people help me along the way between 1999 and to where I am now, and I'm very grateful and very blessed for what I have in my life. And so I know a lot of people like to do charitable work, and I basically say this every single month in my club, that this is my charity work. So I literally donate 3 to 5 hours of my week every, 3 to 5 hours of my time every week, and I either do it for this club as I present, and or I go ahead and I meet with other individuals within the club. I will give them free consulting where I will meet with them one-on-one and help them. My club is very unique because we focus entirely on systems, because I, coming from corporate America and going through the ranks through McDonald's Corporation, I know nothing other than systems. So everything in my life is systems. So that's really what the group is about. It's how to systemize, regardless of what you're doing, whether you're flipping, whether you're wholesaling, whether you're rental properties, it doesn't matter. It's about building the systems behind those, and so that way you can be as successful as you possibly can. So that's what this group focuses on.
Very cool. And right now you guys have about 250 to 300 members inside of this club that you have. And is a club in Phoenix or Tucson?
It is in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona. You guys have about 250 to 300 clubs. And what I love about your club is that, and I've, as you know, Greg, I've spoken in clubs all across this country. I've started clubs. And it's unique because what I'll tell you, if you're listening right now and you've never been to a club, a lot of clubs struggle to get people just to attend the club itself. And they'll do all kinds of marketing and all kinds of spend money on advertising and do all kinds of stuff to try to get people to attend the club that they're at. And but Greg is a little bit different when as he does his club, because your club sells out 100% of its seats every single month. Is that right?
That is correct. So, and I've not spent $1 marketing for anything. It's all been word of mouth, and it's grown organically.
Yeah, and so you said your last club meeting, your meeting room, you guys can hold 70 people inside your meeting room. You sell out 70 seats every single month for people to attend your local club there in Phoenix. And this last month, you actually turned away 11 people who wanted to come in but could not because you only hold a 70 people. While most clubs struggle to get, you know, 30, 40 people to show up, you're actually turning people away on a monthly basis to come and listen to your education when it comes to real estate investing, as well as building systems inside of real estate. Quite an accomplishment. And Greg, I want to talk a little bit about the power of networking, because I know you use this form of club as a way to give back and a way to educate and help teach others as you're coming up learning about real estate. But I want to talk about the networking abilities at this club, not only your club, but all real estate clubs, and what you feel what networking can do for you inside of your business. And here's what I'm really trying to ask you. Have you ever done any deals with people that you met at this, at your club, a different club, whatever it may be, and that has led into either them funding deals for you, them bringing you deals, you partnering on deals, all through a networking aspect of the business? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more, what you stated earlier, that networking is one of the best, if not the best thing you can do in this business. From 1999 through 2010, I did zero networking. I was a solo. I did everything myself. I had all my own money, did everything myself. In 2010, that's actually when I joined the RIA here in Phoenix. And that's when I really started taking networking seriously. Between 2010 and 2014, I grew to the point where 100% of my business was all through that networking.
Wow.
Now, I would go to not just the RIA, but I'd go to all the subgroups. I was literally going to 6 to 8 networking events a month, and that was part of my business plan. And it got to the point where literally by 2014, I'm talking every dime I've raised, every deal I did was either directly or indirectly done through networking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing because I don't think I've ever put an ad out for raising capital when it comes to looking for funding or anything like that. And I know now people listening may say, yeah, well, Andrew, it's easy because you're the founder of NARI. But even when I wasn't, even when it was just me and I was working solo, it was just through because I got out there, I met people, I knew how to talk to people, and I did it through networking. And just recently, I met a guy a couple weeks ago for lunch, and ended up wanting to put about $3 to $5 million in the market. And all that was through networking. So the power of networking is extremely important when it comes to real estate investing. After the break, I want Greg to share with us how to invest out of state.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
Money may not buy happiness, but with enough money, you can buy whatever makes you happy. An ordinary job won't get you there, but an extraordinary book will. Andrew Cordell's new Amazon best-selling book, Cash Flow Finish Line, tells in plain English how to make more money and create wealth from real estate. And we'll send you the book free if you call us now at 1-800-524-4284. Get your free copy of the book full of easy-to-understand ideas to help you build wealth without risking any of your own money. Andrew's sponsors have graciously offered to help pay for shipping and handling. All you pay is $195 and they'll cover the rest. You don't need a great credit rating either. You just need to want it and you need to ask for it. Call 1-800-524-4284 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-4284 in the next 30 minutes and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-4284. That's 1-800-524-4284. Again, that's 1-800-524-4284.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Hey, everyone, and we're back to The Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, talking about real money made from real estate investing. And I'm on the air here with Greg out of Phoenix, Arizona, who is an out-of-state real estate investor. And we want to take these next segments and talk about how you can invest out-of-state. Does that apply to you? Should you invest out of state? And then if you want to invest out of state, how do you do that? Where do you go, et cetera? Before I do that, you know, I just recently released the Amazon best-selling book, The 12 Top Strategies for Real Estate Investing. Not only is it an Amazon best-selling book when it first was released, but it has continued to stay top of the charts for Amazon as far as the best-selling book. I want to give you a free copy of this book. I also, in this book, talk about out-of-state investing and how you can invest out-of-state. I'd like to give you a free copy of that book. If you would like a copy, simply call 1-800-537-3440. I'll give you that number again. It's 1-800-537-3440. And the book is absolutely for free. They'll ship it out to you. The only thing you have to pay is $1.99 for shipping and handling. We have some sponsors that have paid the other portion of the shipping and handling. So the only thing you have to pay is $1.99 to receive your free copy of my Amazon best-selling book, The 12 Top Strategies in Real Estate Investing. Greg, I want to talk now about how you invest out of state. I think probably the most important thing to cover right out of the gate is, why do people invest out of state? If the listeners are listening today and they're sitting thinking to themselves, well, Andrew, Greg, why would I invest out of state when I can invest right here in my backyard? What is it that causes people to invest out of state, and what is it that caused you to look into investing out of state? What's that process that goes through there?
Right. Okay. Well, I think the answer is going to be different for each person. But for me, the answer was is that it got to the point where here in Phoenix, you know, the prices were rising, and it got to the point where the cash on cash returns, you know, the rents versus what you had to pay in the property, was dropping to the point where realistically, if you ran true numbers, unfortunately, I don't think most people actually run true numbers. What I mean by true numbers is looking out 10 to 15 years after you put in all the capital improvements, you're going to have to replace the roof, you're going to have to paint the exterior. Most people don't factor that into. But if you factor this into, the true cash on cash returns was dropping down like 5, 4, 3% here in Phoenix. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense, especially when you're popping down $200,000 to $250,000 a property for a rental property. So that's what drove my decision, is that there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better solution to get cash on cash returns. So that's why I started looking across the country, is where can I get better returns? Phoenix is great and Arizona is great for appreciation, but for cash on cash, it just isn't there for me. And so I had to look elsewhere.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that not all markets have the ability to give you great cash on cash returns. And if you're listening today, coming over from stock, looking to invest in real estate, every single market, meaning the market that's right there in your backyard, if you were to buy a rental property there for cash, it may not give you the exact amount of cap rate or interest that you are looking to make on your money. And a lot of that has to do with because the houses are worth more, or the houses are selling more for more than the rent that it will provide you will come in. And so because of that, when that happens, and there's certain markets that happens in. Of course, you can imagine anything on the West Coast that you hit, sort of the California, Oregon, Washington, and then, of course, on the East Coast, you have many states there, and the New York, and especially the upper Northeast, and then, of course, Arizona is one of those markets that sometimes the houses are costing more to buy versus the rent that you have coming in, and so that forces the investor that's looking to make cash flow on their money, passive cash flow, to look out of state when they invest. Now, Greg, would you say that out-of-state investing is for everyone, or is it a certain type of investor that needs to be investing out of state?
I think it's going to depend upon their personal strategy. I mean, if you're already in an area that gets really good cash-on-cash returns and that's the only thing you're interested in, then obviously there's no reason to go out of state. But if you're looking for multiple strategies, so even if you're in a strong cash-on-cash return state, maybe you're looking for more appreciation. So you can sell the property 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, and you're going to get a much better return after you factor in the appreciation. So I think it's going to be individualized depending upon, just my personal opinion, depending upon what their strategy is, what their exit strategy is. For me personally, I want some of both. So I have properties here that I have rental properties that I'm keeping because I want to continue the appreciation so I can sell those out at some point for a large gain. But the other ones I'm buying in the Midwest that get much better cash on cash, those are for much longer returns, and I want to keep those as long as possible and just live off the passive income.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's two different ways that investors should look at out-of-state investing, and you just hit both of them, which is you have the appreciation side of it as well as you have the cash flow side of it. And if you look at the hedge fund, a lot of the investing they did recently when they came to the market, when the market was the lowest, they were playing the cash flow game. But the real game that they were playing was waiting until the market turned, and they knew that it would turn. And when it turned, they bought the house at the very, very bottom of the market. They were making cash flow throughout the market, and then they're selling those properties off. A lot of them are selling them off even now for great returns as they played a cash flow and appreciation game at the same time. Coming up after the break, I want to talk about when you decide to invest out of state, what is the first decision you have to make with Greg Slaughter from Phoenix, Arizona?
We'll be right back on The Andrew Kordal Show. Listen up, America. Are you interested in discovering proven real estate investment techniques that can create life-changing wealth? Andrew Kordal, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, has just published a brand new Amazon best-selling book to give you a market edge on making money in your own backyard. In his book, Cashflow Finish Line, you'll quickly learn the top 12 strategies for making money in real estate today. Discover how to do profitable deals that don't require you lift a paintbrush, but give you fixed returns that can create cash flow and long-term wealth. Call 1-800-524-1365 now to get Andrew's new book absolutely free. Andrew's sponsors are now helping to pay for shipping and handling. You just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Plus, as a bonus, call 800-524-1365 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Learn and earn with Andrew Kordal by calling 1-800-524-1365. That's 1-800-524-1365 to get your free book today. You've been listening to The Andrew Kordal Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Andrew Kordal Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate investing. And we're talking about how you invest out of state. I've got Greg on the phone with us here in the studio talking about how he invests out of state, whether it be rental properties or flips. And we're trying to give you some good advice when you're looking to possibly buy a rental property out of state. Sort of a, Greg, I would even say it's sort of a new phase of real estate investing that's maybe been around for the last 10 years or so, but it's definitely getting more and more mainstream, and that is buying these out-of-state rental properties from what they refer to as turnkey providers. And it seems like it's becoming a very popular style of investing, especially with people using their IRAs, 401ks, et cetera, when it comes to these rental properties. Have you seen sort of I don't want to say explosion, but maybe that is the right word for it, of you've been investing since 1999. Have you seen sort of this new phase of out-of-state turnkey investing happening?
Yes, absolutely, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. Now, some of that may be because I really wasn't doing a lot of networking prior to 2010, but it's something I've definitely noticed in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, going to the network meetings and the RIAs, you definitely hear these different companies popping up all across the country. And, of course, Phoenix is known as having, you know, a lot of investors here. So we're getting a lot of that marketing, incoming marketing, sure, into our RIAs and stuff. So, yes, I'm definitely hearing a lot of that.
Yeah, it seems like it's really growing a lot. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, people are wanting to pull their money out of the stock. They're looking to maybe control a little bit more of their investing and not taking all their money out and putting into real estate, but at least diversifying some of their portfolio. And you see a lot more of this turnkey investing happening that's out there. And I will, I'm going to go ahead and say this while I'm on the air here, talking about just be careful if you're working with a turnkey provider, what turnkey provider you're working with. And I'm not going to give out any names, good or bad here, but I just want to put the clause out there that sometimes the turnkey provider you're working with is not the one who's actually going to be doing your property. He may be nothing more than a middleman or a middlewoman that is just selling you the product. They're the marketing. They're the advertiser. So they're out there trying to sell, find you. And once they find you, they're going to sell you a property. And then they're out of the equation. And so the relationship that you built and the trust that you built is with them and not with the actual provider itself. So make sure you are working with a good company and a company that has been there for a while that is established. So, Greg, I want to go into just from your perspective now, when someone decides to invest out of state and they made the decision to you know what, I'm gonna buy a rental property, I'm gonna buy it out of state. What is sort of their next decision they need to make when it comes to before they buy their first out of state rental? What's the decision they should make first?
Well, they definitely better have the strategy that they're using down, because if you're obviously going for cash on cash, that's going to be different than if you're going for appreciation. So before you go look to where you're going to invest, you better know your strategy. So to me, that's number one. Now, for me personally, it was for cash on cash. So I started looking on, okay, where can I get the returns that I want? And then the second thing I started looking at is the land. Well, I made the mistake of not looking at this and learned it later, but making sure you're going into a landlord-friendly state.
Yeah, I think I'm going to back up because I want to spend a little bit of time on this, knowing your strategy. I see this happening more times than not where someone's not a full-time real estate investor, right? They have a great career, they're working, they don't want to leave their career, but they're looking to create a better retirement portfolio. And they hear something about buying rental properties and they get out there and the next thing you know they buy a rental property. But you're hitting a major nail in the head when you talk about understanding what you want in your investment, your strategy. Are you trying to play the appreciation game or are you trying to play the cash flow game? And I see investors all the time because they're not, you know, I'm going to say fully educated when it comes to rental properties, especially out-of-state rental properties. They call up some provider that maybe they heard or got it through a contact of a friend, and they just listen to what that person says, and that's the type of property they buy without them understanding. Are they looking to make cash on cash return? Are they looking to make good monthly cash flow at a high rate of speed? Or are they looking to buy this property and let it increase in value? Out of the two, Greg, I think you sort of answered it, but which one do you mainly look for when you're investing out of state?
With me going out of state, it's strictly cash on cash because I'm fortunate that I live in a high appreciation area here in Phoenix. So I already get that side of it. So I just needed the other side of it. I needed the cash on cash.
The cash on cash return, yeah, for sure. And then the second thing here, and we're not going to be able to cover all of this in the segment here, but I want to at least start the conversation of the difference between what you talked about, a landlord-friendly state and a non-landlord-friendly state or a tenant-friendly state. Those are a huge swing for me if I'm looking to invest out of state. If I want to buy a house in, and I'm going to give the example here of Illinois and Indiana because me and you have both bought right there, whether or not which side of that border I buy on, whether it be tenant-friendly or landlord-friendly, I think you've even have previously bought, not knowing, in some tenant-friendly states and has really cost you some lessons there out in Missouri. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And I'm going to put you in the spot. We're going to talk about that right after the break, what to watch out for when you're investing in a landlord-friendly state or a tenant-friendly state and how much money that can cost you. Coming up right after the break with Greg out in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'll be right back on The Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Kordal Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Andrew Kordal Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate investing. I appreciate you joining us today on the show. We have a great show with Greg out in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about how you can invest in out-of-state rental properties. And this final segment here, I want to dive a little bit deeper into Greg. We sort of were talking about the landlord-friendly state versus the tenant-friendly state. And I want to talk a little bit about what does that mean? If someone's listening today and they think, man, I wanted to buy a property, but I don't know, what does it mean to landlord-friendly versus tenant-friendly? Can you explain a little bit to the listeners what that means?
Yes, I can absolutely do that because I learned this the hard way from personal experience. So I can absolutely share that.
Sure.
Basically, the difference is I was spoiled because Arizona's landlord friendly. So what that means is that you can evict someone rather quickly. So if they don't pay the rent on the first, I can have someone out of the property within 3 weeks here in Arizona.
Right.
Well, I just naturally assumed that was the same across the country, and that was a wrong assumption. And we all know what happens when you assume things.
Yep.
So I actually went into another state, and I learned the hard way that not everyone out there is like Arizona. And you can get into situations where it takes 2-3 months, and I personally went through this, to evict someone out of a property.
Yeah, so it took you 2 months to evict one person. And the biggest thing that people got to understand is, no one understands the eviction laws better than the tenants themselves. It's amazing to me as I walk through the rental properties. You have real estate attorneys, and I swear to you that the tenants know more about eviction law than the actual attorney itself knows about eviction law. And if that tenant knows that it takes you 4 or 5 months to evict them out of that property, they know they can stop paying you and drag this thing out for 4 or 5 months without ever having to pay you a dime of rent. And meanwhile, you're never going to recoup that money. It's just money you might as well walk away from. Look, you can go through the judgment process. You can go through the try to garnishment of wages and so forth. But I guess my question, Greg, is it really worth all that headache and all that negativity in your life to go through and hire an attorney to do a judgment, to do after the tenant's already gone? Do you want to sit there and continue to fight this tenant for months and months and even years out just to get your money back? You know, for me, the answer has always been no. I just want to move on with life and get the next person in there. I don't want my time spent in a courthouse with a judge and attorney trying to garnish someone's wages. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more at this point, but I will be honest with you. Earlier in my investing career, you know, when you're first starting out, and I think Everybody goes through it, it's kind of like an evolution.
Yeah.
When you're first starting out, you almost feel like, well, you are not going to do that to me, and I'm going to get back at you.
Yeah.
And you kind of go after them because you want to teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
But then once you evolve and you've done this through a number of years, you get to the point where it's like, you know what, it's just not worth the trouble and hassle, and I can make money much quicker, faster, doing other things than that.
Yeah, and sometimes you're throwing – I agree. I did the same thing, man. I when I first got going, by God, I was going to teach this person a lesson that you should pay this. And you go through this process, and then eventually you just get to the point where you're like, you know, there's more important things I should be doing right now than chasing this person down, trying to give them a judgment when I should be out looking for more deals right now and focus on how to make money, not how to focus on how to teach this person personal finances. But being that landlord-friendly state and non-landlord-friendly state is extremely important for you when you're looking to invest out of state. So if you're listening today and you're thinking about making an investment out of state, whenever you talk to that turnkey provider, that friend that's going to help you, before I even really dive into numbers and what their sales price is, the first thing I want to ask is, what's the laws? Are the laws in my favor as a landlord or the laws in the tenant's favor? And here's the deal, and I think, Greg, you would agree with this. I'm not in the eviction game. I have no desire to evict anybody from any of my houses. However, I do know that sometimes it will present itself as you get in this business. And if the laws are in my favor, it makes it much easier. And most of the time, the tenant will just move out. They know that they're going to get evicted in 3 weeks. They're not going to fight that much with you. They're just going to move out. Versus if they know it takes 3 or 4 months to move to evict, they tend to fight you a lot more. So just make sure you're investing in the landlord-friendly state. Also, Greg, I want to talk about an extra strategy. You know, if someone buys a house, and let's say they buy it in the Midwest, which is popular right now, there's some good turnkey providers in the Midwest. If someone buys a house in the Midwest where it's not appreciating, it's really a straight investment property, it will always be an investment property, how does that person get rid of that property, or how should they look at it when they go into it as what is their exit strategy on that, you know, I'll say lower income type of rental property?
Right. Well, I can tell you what my personal exit strategy is, and that's death. So my cash on cash is just there simply to provide for me while I'm still alive, and then hopefully for others after my death.
Yeah, so I mean, and I think it's a great approach. I mean, some people get into the real estate and they buy a rental property that's a cash cow, and they buy it thinking that they're going to sell it in 1 or 2 years, and it's like, man, you're doing this investment all wrong. This investment is a long-term lookout. It is looking 30 years down the road. It is looking in what you refer to as death. I have no intention of selling this property. It will be in my portfolio forever, basically, when it comes to these cash-on-cash investments, and I totally agree. If you do buy one of those properties and you got to get out of it for whatever reason, I'm going to tell you that your best exit strategy is to sell it out to another investor, not putting it on the MLS. Finding another local investor, out-of-state investor that's looking for what you have and sell it to them. Greg, if you have a property that you're buying for appreciation, such as maybe you buy in Phoenix where you're at, where the rental market is growing, what's the exit strategy there if someone wants to sell?
Well, here I would, if you sell to another investor, you're probably going to, I'm just speaking strictly for Phoenix, so you'd probably have to sell it at some kind of discount or something just
right.
Because of the cash-on-cash returns. So here I would sell strictly retail.
Yep.
So I'd sell it to a retail buyer. So I agree with you on the cash-on-cash investments.
Yep.
That would go to an investor for the appreciation. I'm selling retail.
Absolutely. If I have a house that's in Arizona market, and I've had it for so many years, part of my investment was to get as much appreciation out of it. The last thing I'm going to do is, now that I'm at the finish line, turn around and lose part of that appreciation. Greg, listen, we're coming up to the end of the show. I appreciate you having you coming on the show with us today, talking about out-of-state investing. I know there's a lot more we could cover on this. I'd like to get you back on the radio soon and talking about real estate investing as well. Can you make that promise here to the listener sometime in the future?
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, Greg. If you're listening today, I want to let you know about one more thing. I have 5 live events happening this year. I'm having one in Denver, Colorado, Atlanta, Georgia, Miami, Florida, Orlando, Florida, as well as Dallas. If you'd like to come out and hear me speak live about real estate investing with the Wall Street Radio Network, you may go to my website at andrewcordle.com. That's AndrewCord, as in David, LE.com. Go to the events page and sign up to get your tickets to those events. I look forward to working with you tomorrow on the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show.
Thanks for listening to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we earn real money in real estate. For more information, go to www.andrewcordell.com.